So first of all, it takes people, children, sometimes 7 times to try a food before they actually like that food. Like when I first tried papaya, I thought it was disgusting. And I lived in Brazil.
I still think it's disgusting.
It's delicious.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes that we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So I'll be honest, it is hard being an entrepreneur and having 3 kids. I think it's hard being an entrepreneur and having any kids, but with 3 kids right now at 2, 4, and 6, there is chaos behind the scenes. And so I myself look out into the universe, usually the universe of Instagram, and I gravitate towards those women and those entrepreneurs who are also seemingly finding a balance between family and putting positive energy as entrepreneurs out into the universe. And one of those such people is Dr. Rachel Schwartzman. Rachel is a naturopathic doctor. She practices here in Toronto, and she has a series of initiatives or businesses out there in the world that are having really tremendous positive impact on families. She is one of the co-founders of West End Naturopathic Doulas, where she is a naturopathic doctor working with families. And she also is the co-creator of the Bump to Baby Show, a family-friendly event that really takes families through the journey of parenthood from pregnancy right into that young family phase. And while this is a Toronto-centric event, the themes of this event and the themes of balancing having a family that is congruent with your values and all of the other things that we need to put out into the world and manage in terms of responsibilities is something that I feel so many of us relate to. We talked in this interview about entrepreneurism, how to manage picky eaters, common health misconceptions that are holding families back, and what Rachel is drinking right now to get her through this very busy time 2 weeks before launch phase and how she keeps going as an entrepreneur. I really enjoyed this interview and I really appreciated the opportunity to speak to someone who I have looked up to for so long. It is my absolute pleasure to introduce you to Dr. Rachel Schwartzman. Dr. Schwartzman, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you.
Well, it's such a pleasure to have you here. I know that in the background of our interview today, there is a lot going on, and we're actually going to get into all of it because I feel like that's part of the reality of entrepreneurism.
It is the reality, totally.
Right, and it's how do we function as women and entrepreneurs and as practitioners amongst the chaos. So tell us a little bit about your practice and your journey, how you became a naturopathic doctor, and then really blossomed and expanded how you wanted to have an influence in that role.
My sort of interest in naturopathic medicine really began in my undergraduate because I studied a lot of anthropology and I looked at, you know, different cultures most to health and healing, and it really kind of opened me up to that there was a whole different world of medicine out there. Like, I grew up in a very sort of traditional Jewish household, and you know, we took our antibiotics when we had strep throat, and we followed all the general formats of modern medicine. And I was sort of like amazed at all these different cultures and that there was just a different way of healing. And I was interested in medicine, but I thought, well, there is a different way. And I found out about the naturopathic college, and I was like, this really seemed like a good fit for me. So that was way back in like the late 1990s. And it became a bit of a journey to get to the naturopathic college because I had an arts background. So I went back to university as a graduate, and I sat in classes with first year students, and I took like biology and chemistry and organic chem, and I got everything I needed, and I went to the school.
And was it what you expected?
Was it what I expected? It was actually harder than I thought it was going to be. It was, I really had no idea that we would like take blood and do injections and be able to like perform prostate exam and PAPs and all these things. So, and you know, it was a bit challenging for me because I didn't really come from this big science background. So the first years, like first year anatomy almost killed me. My colleagues, my friends, you know, they had a much easier time, and they were really part of my community that helped me get through it. So it was, you know, there were challenging parts, there were easier parts, but, I thought it was a really, it was an intensive program for sure.
And what are you up to now?
So now, yeah, I know I graduated in 2005. So like in naturopathic years, I'm like almost becoming like, you know, an elder, so to speak. what am I doing now? I have a general family practice. So I really see, you know, I see a lot of women. I see a lot of tired moms. I see a lot of kids, a lot of pregnancy. But, you know, I see men as well. I've been seeing a lot of teens, which I just find is a really exciting population to work with. And yeah, part of it is, I mean, I have a very much a family practice and a young family practice, but I like when things are a little bit varied and kind of keep me on my toes as well.
Yeah. And so here's what I find really interesting is that I have three kids.
Yes.
You have three kids.
Yep.
And then when I look at so much of where your energy goes, and you've got a really cool event coming up, it's towards child and maternal health. Mm-hmm, and while, mm-hmm. I mean, I love supporting women, but like, I don't want to treat kids necessarily.
No, but they're so easy to treat.
I guess.
You know what I love about children is, first of all, they don't have such a psyche into the belief that this isn't going to work.
Yeah, that's true.
So you can give them treatment, like you can provide a treatment and you can get really great results with actually, I'm not a naturopath that, you know, generally people don't leave with like bag fulls of things in one visit. And so, you know, and with children, I really believe in that sort of art of less being more, and they don't need a lot of stuff, and we can make a few little changes and like, and you get amazing results. It's fabulous.
Yeah. You know what? It's such a good point, because when I give things to my kids, they look at me, they're like, really? Is this going to work? But it's true. When I do give them to my pediatric patients, they don't know any better.
They just take. They're not like, yeah, oh, this is fake medicine. This isn't going to work. Of course, they have none of these preconceived ideas. They just take, and we see things shift. It's great.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so do you see, now that you are experienced, I will not even delve into the concept of elder, but now that you have a more experienced practice and you have seen more, how much does mindset play in terms of an individual's ability to achieve an outcome with respect to their health?
I think that it has, I mean, I think it has a big play. It's a big thing that I talk about with people in my practice as well, is a lot of intention and a lot of positive imagery and visualizations. And, you know, I think of like my infertility cases and like, oh, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Well, if we really believe it's not going to work, I mean, potentially it's really not going to work. So trying, but that's a really also a hard thing when people come in with lots of struggles and lots of, you know, chronic conditions and things that patterns that have been like, over and over again in their almost, it's becoming like in their, it's going into their cells, you know? So it's a big shift to have to work with that as well.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. So let's go back to these blank canvas patients, these kids, and looking at children's health. You have an event that's coming up, the Bump to Baby
mm-hmm,
Show.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you, this conviction to support a maternal and child wellness come from? I mean, obviously your mother, but like, this
so
is
I'm
more
probably,
than that.
Yeah, I mean, it is more than that. So first of all, my eldest child is going to be 13 this year. So, you know, it's hard to remember my life before my life with kids, to be honest. But, you know, I don't know if I had such a huge passion before I had my own child, to be honest. Like, it wasn't like I was like, oh, I want to only do pediatrics. And like, I think it was me being pregnant, and I had like a bit of a traumatic birth experience, like in a sense that my labor was actually fine and was, you know, I had this very great home birth experience. It was my aftercare that was really, I kind of just fell between some cracks, and my baby ended up getting, he ultimately was just very, very dehydrated. I didn't know how to breastfeed. I didn't have a very good support system. And I had this baby who was so jaundiced that when I took him to the pediatrician, she had sent us right to the hospital. He stopped breathing. He had a breathing tube. He had spinal taps. He had triple phototherapy. And it was such a traumatic start. And I thought to myself, wow, if this happened to me and I'm like kind of educated, I guess I'm educated as a naturopath, but not as a parent. I mean, this must be happening to other people too. I cannot be the only one that this is happening to. And then I entered this whole world of motherhood, and it was a bit of a different time of motherhood. Like, it was motherhood before we had social media. And like, he's only 12. So it's not like, you know, he's that old.
Your 40-year-old son. Yes,
exactly. Like, he's only 12, but like, this is a mother before Facebook.
Right.
Before you could go online into like your mommy group and like ask people for information. So like, it was really about building a community of people. You know, my best friend who had a child who was a year older, who was the woman that I like organized this Bump to Baby show with. And we were like, it was very much years in the making. It's just that we had child after child and no time. And not really sure how to go about it. And I had a new practice. And then it was finally like, let's put this sort of Bump to Baby show and help people create this village and help families make better choices. And that's really what the show is about. It's about helping people come together anywhere that you are. And, you know, we are kind of like, the name is the Bump to Baby show, but it's really beyond the Bump to Baby show. Like, if you all have a family and if you live in the city and you have an interest in family health, then there is something for everybody at the show. Like, we really believe that.
And how did you, like, this is, I love, what I love about this, and we're going to talk about what is at the show, but you took an extension of what you were doing in practice, and you're like, I'm going to build community and bring people together. And like, that's really strong entrepreneurial thinking. Was that always who you were?
You know, I've answered this question before for somebody in an interview. And, you know, it's like my family upbringing. My parents are both Israeli. They moved here in the late 60s. My dad didn't speak any English. And like, you know, he was a carpenter, and like, he just started working, and my mother like tried different careers. And I mean, it's, my brothers are independent and entrepreneurial like that as well. And I think it's something that's, it's like kind of all I really knew in my life, if that makes sense. Like, it's, my whole family is like that. And so, I'm always, you know, in my head, I have so many ideas. It's just my limitation is my time. Right. So it's, yeah. And it's something I find really, I love to be a bit of a dabbler. Like, I love to kind of do a little bit of this and a little bit of that and work with people in this way. And I find that really exciting to be able to, you know, and part of being a naturopath, we kind of work by ourselves at a desk. And so it's really fun to have these projects that you can work with other people.
Well, and what's neat about what you just said was it was always around you. Like, it was just one of those things, like, yeah, this is how you do it, right?
It's just sort of like, that's just what we, yeah, like my uncle, like, is just how everybody just work like that. And I think it's sort of like this new immigrant mentality, like, you go to a new country, and, you know, my parents were, and they still are, my dad's retired and my mom is, but like, They have a very strong and hard work ethic. And I think that was really passed down to us. So, yeah, sometimes so much that I'm like, I should chill out a little bit, you know, like, I don't, it's sometimes I have to remind myself to also to turn off.
Yeah. And sometimes that's exactly what you have to do, right? You actually have to remind mm-hmm. yourself that mm-hmm. it's okay to mm-hmm. come, that it's fine to come down. And I have to do the same thing as well. I have to build those pieces in. You mentioned that your family was really entrepreneurial and you know, your uncle and your dad. But I do believe it's different being an entrepreneur as a woman.
Yeah. And my mother was too. I mean, my mother was, she was a school teacher for a while and she was like, this is boring. And then she got into real estate and she became, you know, an independent realtor that way. And so she really was able, like, and she was very successful and she built a lot of her own hours and, you know, managed her time with also having three kids. And so, you know, my mother worked very, very hard.
And so what did she teach you about entrepreneurism that's maybe different than what you learned from your father and your uncles?
I think it was more about watching a woman do it. Like me being younger, and actually my mom wasn't really home with us. Like, I mean, she was home with us, we're all home, but she went off to work. You know, so I kind of always grew up not just like, oh, well, daddy goes to work and mommy stays home, but it was actually like mommy goes to work too, you know, like that was, and she was always very passionate about her work. And she really built a lot of really strong relationships with people, which she still maintained today. And those are all things that I think my patients would, you know, I have really great relationships with my patients. And so, yeah, I think those were all things that just, it's, I don't even know if it's learning it. It's just what I was surrounded by. Well, it was just what I grew up. It was just there.
It sets your normal. I love it. So, you've got three children and you've got a busy practice and you've got this initiative. And we were talking before about sort of all the things behind the scenes that are going on, which I think is a truth that so many female entrepreneurs can relate to. So tell us, take us through some of the hacks, right? Of you as a mom with this very busy life, how do you actually maintain a healthy family? Because I have girlfriends who will also recount that their mothers were really busy with their careers and they grew up on like Joe Louis and TV dinners, which I suspect isn't happening. Right? So how do you do it?
Okay. So sometimes, you know, it's about making some better choices. So sometimes I like pop a pizza in the oven, like anybody else. I just choose to buy a better brand than like a conventional brand. So it's like, sometimes those are the choices that I make that way. I'm also like, and if anybody follows me on Instagram, I'm really about putting functional food out on the table really quickly and really simply, like all the power to the people who like make things, like cut things up into cute little shapes. And like, you know, I'm like, here's your apple. And like, you eat it whole, right? Like it's, here's the strawberries and we give them a quick rinse. And like, they go out on the table is like one, I often will call things like a communal table. It's like, I put things out very, easily for everybody to access however much food they want to at that time. I don't like portion things out onto a plate for people. So I think that's one thing. I don't know. The food piece for me is tricky because it's just something that's really important. And it does take time, but I also think that, you know, making a smoothie could be something super simple, like clean protein powder. And I put some hemp hearts in there and some fruit and like almond milk and we blend it and like breakfast is served in like 2 minutes. So sometimes it's about helping people realize that actually healthy doesn't have to take longer.
Yeah. And I think that's one of those misconceptions, right? I had someone the other day arguing, we were talking about steps and they said, I would love to just take the stairs when I'm throughout the course of my day. But it's faster and more efficient to be on the, escalator. And so for the next week, I would run up the stairs beside people on the escalators just to prove this patient wrong. Right. But it's the same thing with food, right? Is that once you're in this zone, what takes more time is not eating healthy, it's learning to eat healthy. Like that's the barrier to that.
Yeah, I think
that's
a really good point. And also like I make the same trip to the grocery store like everybody else does. You know?
Right.
I mean, and then it's just about what you're deciding to put into your cart, which I think you make a good point, is like, you know, alert. It's alert skill. But you know, sometimes like it's just about picking the right things to put into that cart. And also often people be like, how do your kids eat like that? It's like, And I really believe if you put that food out from that very beginning, I mean, that's what they know to eat. It's when we start to put different food items in that actually, like, I mean, it's all fine for people who want to eat certain kind of crackers and certain kind of shapes, but I mean, that's actually not really what food looks like.
It's such a good point. Okay, so let's, for all those moms who are like driving, they're like, yes, I want to do this healthy and I want to do all those things. We can talk about some hacks to like get over that hurdle of learning this. But I also know there's those women out there who are like, oh, my kid is such a picky eater. This isn't going to work.
Yeah.
And then they move on. So what do we do?
It takes people, children, sometimes 7 times to try a food before they actually like that food. Like when I first tried papaya, I thought it was disgusting. And I lived in Brazil.
I still think it's disgusting.
It's delicious. I lived in Brazil, and you know what they eat every day? They eat papaya. And so every morning there's papaya on the table. And when you eat things enough times, I'm like, I love papaya. So now I'm like, here, kids, here's papaya. They don't like it, but they keep trying it. So that's, doesn't have to be the papaya. But the idea is, just because your child doesn't like something one day doesn't mean they don't like it. First of all, maybe it's your mood. You're like, I just don't feel like eating that right now. That's totally allowed. Or maybe they're just not exposed to it enough. So always putting something out. Sometimes also, you know, there's a lot of these funny psychological experiments, like having too many options can almost shut down wanting any options. So sometimes I'll only have like, you know, 2 varieties. Like I'll have steamed broccoli and steamed cauliflower. Okay. If you don't like one, you have to like the other. Right? Or like, you know, whatever. I'll have roasted Brussels sprouts and steamed broccoli. Okay, so you have to pick one. You don't have to eat both of them. So letting them have a little bit of control over that as well. And that's why I actually really love this idea of like, and again, it's probably my Israeli background where like food gets thrown on the table and like everybody dives in. And so, you know, they can reach for the items that they want themselves instead of getting this plate and like, it's all there for them, you know? I think there's something really exciting about putting food on your own plate.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's a really nice, that's a really good option. Mm-hmm. Just, you gotta stick with it.
You have to stick with it. And, you know, I mean, fruits are usually pretty easy for people. I would say it's the vegetables a lot of the time. But, you know, sometimes I buy these cucumber sticks and, you know, they used to be lightsabers. And like, look at that. They're eating like, so getting a little bit creative. But you're right. It's a lot of mental energy to have to get creative as well.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just want to be like, I'm busy. Just eat it. Leave me alone.
But we've got Pinterest, right? Like moms did this before Facebook and before Pinterest. Pour yourself a glass of wine, hunker down and make them do it.
Yeah, just eat it. And also like, I mean, what I've learned from my first child to my third child is like, no child will go hungry and, you know, just put it out and don't give in to the snackies. Like if you look at, in the summer I went to Nova Scotia and we stayed with my friend who's from France, and it's so like, they don't snack. They eat these meals and they don't snack on crackers and on cheese and on like, they have like meals and they sit down and they eat these meals. And so sometimes I think the kids don't eat the dinner because they know they're going to get the snack, and the parents like, well, they can't go to sleep without eating. So like, okay, fine. Then if they know they're going to get the cereal, they're not going to eat the dinner.
Right. Right. And some of these elements, and you know, what I'm hearing you say is like, listen, the kid is going to be fine. And you have the parents who have, they're working from their own fear base. And listen, like if you haven't slept for 3, it's their own anxiety. It's all these things. And I think ultimately most parents who are busy and have a standard for how they want to live their own life, which I just take for granted is my audience. When we're looking at our own health, it really requires that if we want to take things to the next level towards optimization, it requires really radical shifts in how you live and in paradigms and preconceptions that you attack and decide to change. So mm-hmm. One thing I'm curious about as someone who works with kids is, are there common misconceptions that you see with individuals in your practice, in some cases kids or with adults, where if you just wish we could break some of these common misconceptions, people would have greater access and ease to be able to have these radical shifts in health?
So yeah, for sure. Like I'm thinking about dairy, but I don't want to like, I don't know, you want to get into like talking about certain food groups. And, you know, a lot of times I'll see kids like, and they, I just think that they, it's not that I don't think people should have dairy. because I think certain people can have certain amounts. It's the amount that often young children are consuming of these like ounces and ounces and ounces and bottles of cow milk, yet alone what kind of cow milk they're drinking. And it's like, oh, well, if they don't get their calcium from the milk, then like their bones are going to break and they're going to, you know, and this. And so sometimes it's actually having to, you know, educate people on, you know, what, and it's also, and I'm really, as a naturopath, it's like, it's very much about individualized care. And so this question is just stumbling me because it's like, I try to personalize, it's not like a blanket statement. Everyone should avoid dairy. Of course not. But like, you know, a lot of people are like, but they have to drink all these milk bottles every day because that's what the guidelines are. And so sometimes it's just showing that there potentially is a different way that is still a healthy way. It's just not the, you know, the mainstream kind of teachings. And so sometimes what, you know, we're trying to do the, I really believe like every parent is trying to do the best that they can for their child. And they are not making that choice being like, okay, I'm doing this on purpose because I know it's not good for my child. 100% not. We are all doing the best. And so when people are coming in to see professionals, you know, when they're coming to my office, they obviously value my expertise and my opinion and my education and all these things. And I'm just helping to show them that potentially for that individual, there might be a different way to see things.
Yeah.
And to do things.
Yeah. I as you were saying that, it made me think of a concept that I see people coming in with or I hear on the playground. And that is this idea that, oh, well, we did it as kids and we are fine.
Yeah.
And I feel like if that is a thought that enters your head, it should be a red flag that maybe there is an opportunity here to spiral up as opposed to maintaining this level of status quo.
And I 100%. I mean, we can always, you know, we want to try to optimize. And the reality is kids are sick. You know, I actually think that probably, I haven't looked into the research on this, but like, you know, stats wise, but like, I don't know what I feel like kids are sicker than they used to be when I was a kid. I mean, even that notion of allergies and how many more kids have allergies now than when I was growing up. I mean, no one I knew had an EpiPen in my class, and it's not like I lived in a cave. Like I went to like a Toronto-based school, right? Like nobody had these things, and now it's like everyday common. So like what's happening in this, right? So there are things I think that we can do even in pregnancy to help to optimize things and make kids as best as we can make them.
And so if we're looking at that and people are like, okay, I'm game. I'm totally in. I want a new standard for myself and for my family. I suspect what you've done with the Bumped Baby Show is you've curated experts and vendors and opportunities for people to learn.
Sure.
Take us through like some of the things that people will have access to at the show.
Honestly, I'm not just saying this because like I co-organize this. But like, seriously, there's nothing like it in the city. It's amazing. So like, first of all, the Witchwood Barns is a beautiful space. So for those of you, if you haven't been to the Witchwood Barns, it's very like natural and light filled. And it's like surrounded by a lot of greenery it's at St. Clair and Christie. So it's like, first of all, just a beautiful environment. It's not like all fluorescent lights and like, you know, indoor. It's got a very much like indoor outdoor feel. And then inside we have a marketplace. We have altogether, we have about 60 vendors, and it's anywhere from like, I mean, I have helped to curate the show. So it's like the best supplement companies that I totally stand behind, that are offering options for pregnant women, for women's health, for, obviously babies, newborns, children. There's skincare products. These are like two areas I just think are really easy for people to be able to make a change. Like, why do you have to put chemicals on your child's skin? And so, you know, lots of really great options for skincare. There's, you know, cute baby wear and clothing, like natural fibers or locally made, sustainable. So thinking about the environment. We also have a lot of services. So there's, you know, a lactation consultant and someone who does prenatal classes. And so just helping, you know, us as naturopaths were there and doulas are there and chiropractors. So just really helping to be able to navigate those years, early years or pregnancy years for families as well. So it really is, we have food, so we have a vegetarian food court. And then the exciting thing is that we run like workshops and kids activities like throughout the day. So people could like come and they can play and they can learn and they can eat and they can shop and they can mingle. And really, you know, a lot of people run into their friends there or they start chatting up with new people. And it's really about forming again, like this village, this community, we're all in it. Let's be in it together. And it's like way more fun when you have actual people that you can like make face-to-face contact with too.
Yeah. And what I love about it is, and you see this right away when you're flipping through the website, which is just the Bump to Baby Show. We'll have it in our our show notes, is that there's real congruence. Like the space is beautiful because I go to the farmer's market there close by and it's all this natural light. But the vendors that you've curated and everyone who is there, it's in alignment, right? There isn't this outlier where it's like, oh, and Kraft is your keynote sponsor, right?
I really love that. And the reality is like, and I, you know, is that we turn more people away than we accept, to be honest. And part of it is like, and we're not at this point, like we're really not, we're not bending on that so much. Like we're not super rigid, but we also try to keep things very like gender neutral, which like we are both sort of, you know, me and my partner are both like fans of, and like, so everything is like, you know, for all, like we also live in a city where there are many, many different types of families. And we even like, you know, I know that moms are, but like some families have two moms or two dads or like no mom or no dad, you know, like there's many different kinds of ways that families come to be in this day and age. And we really want that space to feel, really comfortable for everybody. So,
yeah, I know. I feel that in what you have put together, and it looks amazing. This is a really busy time for you. So I want to know what you are doing right now, not as a naturopath, am I asking this question, but as like fellow entrepreneur, I'm like, okay, what's her secret? How are you keeping yourself going?
What do I do? So I always read before I go to bed. I cannot handle turning off a device or like, and then going to sleep. So I find reading is really helpful. So that's why it could even just be a magazine. Like it doesn't have to be anything. It could be very light. It doesn't matter. But, and I drink, I'm also a huge fan. And again, if you like know me or follow me on social or anything, I love herbs and I love herbal tea. So I like literally I'm drinking linden tea right now. I drink a lot of lemon balm. I drink a lot of chamomile. So I do like a lot of our nervines to help to kind of just work with my nervous system that might be more excitable. And I have to move my body. I'm not like a crazy, I play tennis, which, you know, I play with a group of friends and even all winter long, I take a tennis lesson every week. And like, I won't book patients during that time. It is, I always tell people, and I have a paper day planner and I show my patients, like you have to actually block things off in your schedule if you want them to happen. Otherwise, it's like, yeah, I'm going to get to it. And, you know, the whole week goes by and you don't get to it. So I literally, and I do a lot, I go to yoga classes. And so these are all just things that get planned into my agenda and into my day to just, you know, as naturopaths, you know, we like kind of sit on a chair all day. And so I definitely feel better if I just move my body.
Yeah, the irony, right, is that we're sitting all day.
Yes, we sit all day. Or things like I walk my kids to school. You know, I could drive, although it would be like driving two blocks. But lots of people do it. I get it. They're on, like, so I really take the time and like I enjoy that. We start our morning by walking and then I pick them up at the end of the day and they walk and I walk and we have these really great chats along our walks. Which is also, or they, like literally my little guy today is like, did you see the bluebells? And I was like, I missed the bluebells because I was too busy, like, you know. So if we just sort of listen to them, they help us to be mindful and stay in that moment, which I think is so important for us.
Yeah, we forget that sometimes, that is a huge role that children play in your life, is they take you away from your head and all the other pieces that are going on.
Yeah, they bring us to the moment.
Absolutely. I took this approach 6 months ago that I felt strongly I did not have time or the space to create a meditation practice, but that my children mm-hmm. would be my meditation mm-hmm. in that I was really going to try to be fully present and engaged in the moment when I was with them. And it's amazing. You have to leverage what's around you sometimes.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. It's great. It's inspiring me.
Rachel, what do you want your legacy to be?
I know. It's like, I don't know. What if I say, I don't know if I need, what do I need a legacy? I don't know if I need a legacy. I've been thinking about this because you sent me those questions. I found that one really tricky. I guess I mean, I think about like, honestly, is like, and it's sort of, I think about my kids as my legacy, and I really want to, I feel like I'm like choking up thinking about it. I want them to be like super happy people. I mean, I want them to be healthy people too, but I feel like as a mom, first and foremost, or just as a parent, it's like I put a lot of energy into my kids. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and it's amazing because you're teaching them principles that they can live their life by, which they're going to be able to teach their community and their children. Like, you've built legacy, whether yeah. you want to label it that or not.
Yeah. And I also, like, I want them to have, like, you know, I mean, relation, like really pot, you know, I'm very like my kids, like they would like be stuck to me all day. And I actually think of that even like my 12-year-old, like he won't go to school without giving me a hug and a kiss and saying goodbye to me. And like, he wants to talk to me. And I'm like, wow, like I must have done something right if I have this really amazing connection and bond with them and with each one of them. So I think it's really tiring to be a parent.
Yes.
It's very tiring. I always joke, I had no gray hairs before I had children. I actually really had very few before I had my third child. But like, it's okay, because all that energy that I invest in them is like just the best thing that we can do. And like, I used to have a blog many years ago, and it was like nobody, it was again before social media, and nobody ever read it. And it was like just like a place, and the pictures are so bad. And I sometimes go on it just to remember this sweet innocence of what, you know, it was called For Healthy Roots. And like, really, our children are our roots, and we can grow them into these beautiful blossoming trees, so to speak. And it can be really sweet. And so I guess, yeah, that's what I do, is like to try for thing for, you know, all I know is my own family, and to, for them to, they're my legacy, for them to just have this really amazing, confident, healthy, happy life, for sure.
It's brilliant. It's a beautiful, beautiful legacy. How would you define health?
Balance. About balance.
Like, yes.
You know, we do our best, and we also don't need to, I'm really not somebody who is super strict. I eat ice cream. We have cakes. We eat pizza. We eat vegetables. I move. Some days I don't move. It's just, I think that when we swing our pendulum so far into one direction, that we actually become unhealthy, even if it's all the way to the health side.
Yeah, so. I could not agree more. Balance is such a key word in our life. I also think sometimes when you have three kids, it puts you over this, like you are forced into a reality check in a different way. Like I had this vision of who I was going to be as a mother, and I lost her the day I became a mother, because the reality is totally different, and that's okay.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, and it changes as your children grow, you know, like, I mean, at one point I was obsessed, not obsessed, but at one point I put a lot of effort into like the first foods my kids eat. And now I'm kind of like, yeah, I mean, it matters, but you know what? It's sort of like that. It's very cliche. But as they get older, it's like the problems get bigger and it actually becomes more relevant. So I also would encourage people who have young kids, is like, some of that stuff actually really won't matter so much. And what matters is about you being there. And I think that really health is about those attachment sort of ideas. And it's more almost like that in a psychological way than a lot of these physical things that we do.
Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. This is kind of a perfect way to transition into something I call our KPIs, or key performance indicators. So I believe we have these in
Sounds
our business,
intense.
Right? They're not. We have them in our business and we have them in our lives as well. And so I have a few quick questions for you, rapid fire.
Okay.
You should get nervous. They're really tough. You ready?
I'm sure, yeah.
Okay. Do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share it?
Oh, I love my tea first thing in the morning. I have a black tea or a chai tea with a little bit of honey and some sort of milk alternative, and it makes me so flippin' happy.
Pursuit of happiness, everyone. That's the theme here.
It is so, like, it's seriously my happy moment of the day. One of them. Yeah, I love that.
Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
What am I reading right now? I really tend to read nonfiction. I'm not a great fiction reader. And what am I reading right now? I'm trying to picture by my bedside table. Oh, I was reading Maxwell Gladwell's Blink.
Oh, classic. It's great.
Yeah, it's good. And all about, just our first reactions to things. And I really like stuff like that.
Well, he's just so smart. He's just enjoyable to read.
Very, very smart.
Yeah. What is one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Probably, I don't like actually using the word exercise because I don't think of myself as an exerciser, but it's some sort of movement several times in a week. Yeah.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
Badass about me. What's badass? Like in this present day or in my life?
Anytime.
I used to follow the Grateful Dead, and I've been to a lot, that was something in my past years, and I used to not go to school sometimes and go on Dead tour instead.
I love it. Reality check. I won't tell your kids quite yet.
It's okay. I tell them. We're good. We talk about all these things.
What do you do for fun or play?
I go see music. I go see music with my friends. I like to go out for dinner a lot. I guess that's it. It sounds kind of boring, but I guess it's not. That's where I am in my life. It's good.
and the last question for you, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I don't know. I think it's nature and nurture. I think for myself, I think I was born with it, but I also think I learned how to develop it and be it as well.
I love that. You've got some very cool things in the pipeline. We're going to hook everybody up in our show notes, but tell people quickly where they can learn more about what you're up to.
Yeah. So my website is Rachel Schwartzman. A lot of it I share on my Instagram, which is Rachel_ND. And all of our Bump to Baby Show information is at the Bump to Baby Show. And the Instagram is the same, and Facebook and all of that. And the show is on May the 6th at the Witchwood Barns. It's a free family event, and it's from 9:30 to 3:30. And hope you guys can make it out and come and come have fun.
Yeah, well, I plan on being there. I'm really super excited to check it all out. Thank you so much for being here.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me on.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.